What's on the agenda for today?
Let's start the day off with
some fun. Real fun.
Today is National Fun Day.
It should be a lot of fun.
This is the beginning of the show. It's the fun time. We're ready to go.
It's where fun meets awesome.
Just have fun with it.
This is going to be fun.
The first Monday of April is National Fun Day.
I will see all of you in the fun zone.
Let the fun begin.
It's showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. On 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It is the Monica J. Show. Happy Monday. Oh my gosh. We made it. Another week. The beginning of another week for us to fight back. When we stop fighting, that's when it's all over. I'm so glad you're here today. It is the Monica J. Show, but it's your show. It's live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada. And it's a way for you to win, too. That's right. Knowing your 99.1 and 92.3 FM news, well, it can put cash in your pocket every Thursday. So be listening for your chance to win. We have got this going on right here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Talk. There is so much to talk about. You know, I almost wish my show was 7 days a week because, oh my gosh, I go stir crazy over the weekend wanting to talk to you about things. Talk and text 884-9910. Let's just kick it off with today's poll question. I brought a little of this to you on Friday before I wrapped up the show, and people wanted to know what the hell I was talking about. This was just crazy. So I hope you looked it up. Today's poll question at 991fmtalk.com. Second graders. So I did the math from when I was in kindergarten. I was in the kindergarten in kindergarten at five. So 7 years old, 7 to 8, or 6 if you were really smart. Second graders in Greenwich, Connecticut were shown an animated video that displays the silhouette of a man with a graphic full erection standing over what is described as a sad girl during a lesson on social and emotional learning. Now, the sad girl, if you saw it, she was, you know, sitting down and kind of like the fetal position, but she was sitting. She had her knees pulled up to her chest and her head was, you know, down on her knees. But she was facing away from the man. I am so torn on this. Knowing the one side that children younger than this are sexually molested more often than you think by people in positions of trust, kids are a hell of a lot smarter than we give them credit for. They really are. So if they see this at 7 years old, do they know to come forward? Will it help children? But then with everything good, there's bad. Is this just one more step of taking away the innocence of children? Because for one child who needed to see that, what about the other 20, 30, 40 that didn't need to? And now are questioning, what is that? Why is that? We're desensitizing the kids younger and younger and younger. And not only are we desensitizing them, we're sexualizing them. They're growing up way too fast. Little Cuties on Netflix. Toddlers and Tiaras. I mean, we've been watching this for so long. Pretty Baby. It's, yes, it's societal, but this is a tough question. But I always circle back to, it's the family. It is a parent's responsibility to teach children first, second, third grade, bad touch, good touch. We are so much into everybody else's business now. And the schools feel as though it is their responsibility to raise the children morally, ethically, sexually, racially. But what they're not teaching is history and government affairs and where the government stops and where personal responsibility is. It's about social and emotional learning. Because everything is about emotions now. Nobody can have a backbone because you're made to look like a bad person for thinking for yourself or for standing up to others who are just screaming injustice. And they can't even see the injustices right in front of their faces when they do that. So I need your help. Today's poll question. Brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Is that appropriate? Is that appropriate? Yes or no? Friday's poll question, AB 209, just in case you thought it was a joke. Is it the responsibility of the Nevada State Legislature to address issues like declawing cats? 3% of those participating in the poll said yes. Wow. So that brings me up to a comment that was sent into the station, which I just find hilarious. Somebody referring to me as bemoaning the fact that our legislature only meets for a certain amount of time every other year. And that, you know, he comes from California and they are always doing something and we should be happy. That's not what I was bemoaning about. I'm upset that for as little time as our legislature has, I don't want to see them meeting any longer. But I want them to be taking things seriously when they are meeting. And in my opinion, declawing cats is not something that a state legislature in Nevada or anywhere should be dealing with. And cities and counties shouldn't be dealing with it either. Should be the choice of whoever owns the cat and the veterinarian. If the veterinarian doesn't want to do that procedure, so be it. Wow. What we have let the government get away with in making us feel that they have a decision in it, that they need to be the deciding factor. Government in any form, they're not social justice warriors. They are supposed to be researching a hell of a lot of stuff and making sure laws that are put into place, ordinances that are put into place, reflect as a benefit for everyone, not just a few individuals. That's why I always go back to hate crimes. When you start designating things like that, then we've gone too far. I don't care if you're elderly, if you work at the post office, if you're law enforcement, if you're, you know, of a different race, of a different religion. A crime is a crime is a crime. How did we get away from that? Because people feel government needs to take care of us. They need to be the social warriors, the social justice. And that's not the case. So should we be letting the schools take control of sex education for, well, they already have. Sex education for kids? You destroy the family. You destroy the family unit, and that's how the government comes in and they take over everything. Because they have control of the kids. They have control of the kids' minds. And it's just not right. It's the Monica Jay Show. Love to hear your thoughts today. We have an amazing guest who is going to be joining us in just about 20 minutes from now. And that is the former acting Deputy Secretary for Homeland Security, Ken Cuccinelli. And going to get his take on what's going on in the homeland right now. On 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
If you're looking for a job during these difficult times, maybe consider working at Amazon. Did you know Amazon's company slogan is "Work hard, have fun, make history"? Well, now they've added a fourth slogan to encourage drivers to work even harder. Amazon's new slogan is "Work hard, have fun, pee in a bottle while you're driving on your route, and make history." Amazon, they're number one.
What are you, a camel?
And let's be glad they're not number two.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone. 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today and every day. If you're not able to be here with me online with our live streaming, you can always check out the podcast at 991fmtalk.com. And Friday was a hell of a show. And Thursday was a hell of a show. And so was Wednesday. So if you missed any part of it, please make sure you log on to 991fmtalk.com while you're there. Answer today's poll question. And wow. I had I had a difficulty because I actually wanted to have another poll question, but I think we're going to save this for tomorrow because more people need to know of what's going on with the All-Star game. But this is pretty darn cool. Yeah. There are some top senators that are pushing to end Major League Baseball's antitrust status after the league pulls Georgia All-Star game. Now, that's interesting because of the fact that they're willing to do that in this country over strengthening voting rights for people. Yet, no word on us pulling out of the Olympics in Beijing. No. I think football, basketball, I don't know who has that. I don't care about sports, really. It's like I do and I don't. But when the government protects them, that's just wrong. So contact all of the senators. Catherine Cortez Masto, Jackie Rosen. But actually, any senator you can get a hold of and say, you know what? It's time to stop protecting these guys. Get rid of the antitrust status. Get rid of football, the NFL's nonprofit or whatever status they have. These people are millionaires. They don't need extra help. Just saying. But I am pretty impressed with Georgia right now, strengthening their election laws. And Texas Governor Abbott, wow. Governors need to take a lesson from him. People need to be saying thank you. But then again, we don't have a governor who is standing up for the rights of Nevadans. Governor Abbott, if you don't follow what is going on, you should check out Operation Lone Star. He's putting the Constitution as the priority in his state. Governor Sisolak? No. You push him on lockdowns or anything like that, and he pushes back even harder. It seems as though if businesses say anything about the lockdowns, all of a sudden, these investigators kind of show up at your office, show up at your business. Surprise, are you wearing masks? No, we need to write you up. I just hope and pray that in the next election we have here in the great state of Nevada, Democrat, Republican, Independent, we actually get a governor that has a backbone, who will stand up for the rights of its citizens and put the Constitution first. Sisolak? That's a joke. So find out more about Operation Lone Star as we continue to be shut down and wearing masks and, well, our rights being violated every day. Homeland Security. That's kind of a joke right now. Securing the homeland. What is the homeland? It's the United States of America. What did the Biden administration do as soon as he got a pen in his hand? Get rid of everything that President Trump put into place to protect this country, to protect its citizens. And Biden? B-U-Y. D-I-N. Biden, he's bought off. Please. Recognize the fact that Democrats want nothing more than to destroy this country from the inside out. Not your average everyday Democrat, no. The ones who are in power, who have been in power suspiciously for a long, long time. Just look at San Francisco and Nancy Pelosi's district. It's not someplace I'd walk. Would I walk through downtown Reno in the middle of the night, unprotected? I'd say yeah. But it's very close to saying no. San Francisco? Absolutely not. Never. Ever. Ken Cuccinelli joins us right after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Hey, be listening for your chance to win. Yes. We have a great chance for you to win. Knowing your 99.1 and 92.3 FM news talk can actually put cash in your pocket every Thursday. All you have to do is, not text and drive, that's for sure, but text your answer to a question that I'm going to be asking you in a little bit. You've only got 90 seconds to answer, so be ready. You got to be listening. 884-9910, that's the talk and text line, and it's so important. So be listening for your chance to win coming up here. And, since we're not giving away the cash until Thursday, I'm going to throw in something delicious for you. How about Mexican lunch or dinner at El Adobe in Reno? Yeah, just for knowing. So be listening for your chance to text here in just a little bit. Right now, though, let's take a look at the poll question. I know this is hard for people to think about, and we have such mixed feelings, but really think about it. Don't just say, oh, that's horrendous. You know, because that's the reaction that I had when I first heard it. Like, ah. But then when I really sat down and started thinking about it, the answer wasn't so easy. Second graders in Greenwich, Connecticut were shown an animated video that displays the silhouette of a man with a graphic full erection standing over what is described as a sad girl during a lesson on social and emotional learning. That just gets me. Social and emotional learning. Is that a part of math? Science? Engineering? What part of a child's education is emotional learning? Oh, I guess that's how they've destroyed social studies, you know, where you actually learn about government affairs, at least when I was in school. And now we go to social and emotional learning. Wow. Thank you so much to Nissan of Carson City sponsoring today's question. Friday's question, AB 209, just in case you thought it was a joke, is it the responsibility of the Nevada State Legislature to address issues like declawing cats? 97% of those participating in the poll said no. 3% said yes. That's disturbing. That's very disturbing. But this is what we've gotten into now. You know, there's actually a bill going through the legislature that looks at people stopping on the side of the road and picking up roadkill for consumption. What? Why is that in front of a legislature that only meets for 4 months every other year? When we have people concerned about election fraud, when we have people concerned about illegals taking jobs, oh, well, then that brings up the fact that, you know, our legislature is trying to make this a sanctuary state. Illegals already have everything they need. They can get a driver's license. They can get a business license. There's an Office of New Americans. Might as well make it a sanctuary state. Seems like it already is. Now, according to Stacey Abrams, back in Georgia, illegals should also have voting rights. Where does it stop? It's the Monica Jay Show, and I am so, so proud to have on the show today Ken Cuccinelli, who is the, I could spend most of the show running down the credentials of this man, and I'm really happy to have you on the show, Ken, as we talk about election integrity, because you are were the former acting Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security. And for me, Homeland Security is not just the borders. It's what happens inside the borders as well. But tell me about the new project that you were working with the Susan B. Anthony organization.
Yeah, Susan B. Anthony List and American Principles Project, and I'm leading their election transparency initiative. And as the name implies, our focus is on improving visibility and accountability in our elections and the security of them. And our basic moniker is easy to vote, hard to cheat. And you all are certainly facing a lot of challenges on that front in Nevada. You're not unique in that respect, but it's definitely undermined confidence in the outcome of elections. 2020 was particularly bad in that respect, but it's not the only reason that these improvements need to be made. And, you know, there's quite a variety of bills going through your state legislature. Although I was a bit amused at the roadkill meats bill.
Yeah, I just wonder how other states look at us when they're working on election integrity. And so many states have been working on that, but we have a Democrat governor, so obviously that's not going to take precedence here. He's making it easier for people to not have the blockades in the way to have a fair and fraud-free election. How does this play into, you're also the former Virginia Attorney General. You know, you saw millions of dollars flood into Virginia from Bloomberg himself and how it changed the election outcomes there.
Oh, well, sure. And the In my governor's race in 2013, he spent $2 million himself just in my race and in the last 2 weeks, no question. But at least that is, you know, that's advocacy money. That's, you know, that's getting his position. He didn't like the fact that I support the Second Amendment. And so needless to say, he didn't run his ads in the conservative parts of the state. He ran them in the liberal parts of the state, right? And that's his right to do that. But that election is supposed to be decided by people who are legally allowed to vote and who we can confirm. And that everybody, by which I mean both sides, have full view of all of the mechanics of the election, so they can have faith in the outcome, whether their candidate won or lost. And the example I use most often is Florida. Remember Bush v. Gore in 2000. Florida was a laughingstock. I mean, we can still picture people holding pieces of paper over their head, the hanging chads, and what an awful system they had. They didn't even count the same way in different parts of the state. So what did they do? They set about to fix it. They were mortified. They were embarrassed. And fast forward to 2020, they have one of the smoothest running election systems in the country. Their counting was done faster than most other states, and they're the third largest state. Now they've passed New York, and neither side had any complaints, winning side or losing side. That's how smoothly it ran. It can run that well everywhere, but it takes the elements of a secure election. And it's really, you mentioned that Nevada has a Democrat legislature and a Democratic governor. And it's unfortunate that that matters, because when you ask ordinary Americans about the elements of an election, like should we require voters to identify themselves, for instance, they overwhelmingly support common sense security, basic access points to the election process itself. There's overwhelming agreement by Americans, regardless of party, you know, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Vegetarian, it doesn't matter when you just talk about what's a good way to run an election. When it gets partisaned up, things start to bog down. And you have the kind of situation you described, where many elected Democrats bowing to the radical left are literally trying to open the election system up for easier fraud. And that's just not acceptable, and it's not where most Americans are.
And it's very disappointing and confusing at the same time, Ken, that the legislators on the federal level are looking at vaccination passports that, you know, just to go into a grocery store, into a theater, you've got to have this card, this identification. Yet to vote, though, it's racist, it's oppressive, it's, you know, it's actually very offensive if you ask anybody of lower income or, you know, a different race that you think that can't have a voter ID. It's rather insulting.
Well, it is insulting, and it's classic, you know, liberal racism. I mean, they look down on others, and they treat Black citizens like they have to be coddled, which is disrespectful to them as a simple matter of their intelligence. And they get away with it because it's the double standard exists in the mainstream media that doesn't hold them to account for it. But the reality is they can't point to people who they say voter suppression. They can't point to a person who can't vote under any of the proposed security provisions. You're seeing this play out in Georgia. You're seeing the discussion at the federal level with H.R. 1, S.1, which both of your senators thus far are co-sponsors of, and would wipe out your state election law and illegalize the use of the requirement by states of voter identification. It's crazy. So we're going to literally block security measures from being put in place. And what those bills do are endlessly bad for our elections. They literally just kick the door wide open to every possible fraudulent practice you could imagine.
But how do people on the grassroots level, say here in Nevada, how do they fight H.R. 1?
Well, the most obvious thing to do is to call your senators' offices and tell them that you don't want them to be co-sponsors or to support them. Doesn't mean it'll prevail, but look, there are thousands of calls going into senators' offices right now, and people can sit there and lament it, or they can put their name on the list and be one of those calls and push their senators in the right direction. Not to say you shouldn't call your congressional reps, but really this is going to be decided in the Senate. There's also the question of whether the filibuster is maintained. And for your listeners' perspective, the filibuster is a Senate rule. It only exists in the U.S. Senate. It doesn't exist in any state legislature that I know of, that requires a 60 votes, a majority, so a supermajority, to end debate on a bill. And the reason that's important is until you can end debate on the bill, you can't vote on the bill. So effectively, you need 60 senators to pass a piece of legislation to change the law. Now, this doesn't apply to budgets, and it doesn't apply to the president's nominees, but it does apply to laws like H.R. 1, S. 1, the voting law, and some of the amnesty bills they have going through there right now, and as well as what you and I are talking about, the election law, which the Senate considers S1, their Senate bill version, but it starts off the same as HR1. And it's interesting they've listed it as number one when it so thoroughly guts election security, and that's their highest priority. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's you have to be careful of what you wish for and what you do, because, of course, we have the honor of having Senator Harry Reid. You know, he pretty much dismantled the nuclear option. So they need to be careful.
Right. And they, you know, Mitch McConnell has taken to the floor and said, reminded them of exactly that. Look, you guys did this once before. In 2013, you said we're going to get rid of the filibuster for this and that and the other thing. And what it was at that time was for judges and appointments, but not the Supreme Court. And so when the Republicans got control, they promptly got rid of it for the Supreme Court. And that was, you know, that held up for Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and the left went crazy over that. Well, this was your idea.
Yeah.
So if they get rid of the filibuster now, and McConnell said, not only are we going to put every objection possible in your way to doing work here in the Senate, but we will use this against you when we regain the majority with a Republican president. And the short-sightedness of ignoring that, it's not an idle threat when they've already done it before.
Yeah.
But again, this was in the Democrats' control. And I would point out, most of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate today signed a letter 4 years ago tomorrow supporting the filibuster. 4 years ago tomorrow, supporting the filibuster. That was when Republicans had the majority, conveniently enough, right? And so now some of those same Democrats are saying the filibuster is a Jim Crow thing. Everything's Jim Crow now, right? That's like the smear of the month.
One Republican used it. One Republican over 300 times Democrats used it.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You know, it just,
that's
it's
the last year.
It's so nauseating. Ken, I got to let you go. This has been a great education. How can people find out more about the Election Transparency Initiative that you're leading and the Susan B. Anthony List and American Principles Project?
Well, you can follow my Twitter account. It's just at Ken Cuccinelli, which is easy if you can spell Cuccinelli. And then the Election Transparency Initiative is right off Susan B. Anthony List's webpage. And we'd love to have people's support. We certainly have a lot of work ahead of us. Nevada is one of our target states.
Yeah.
The fact that you all have Democrat majorities is not keeping us away. We believe, as I told you earlier, that the quality of these proposals stand on their own merits. And it is true that people in Nevada would support them as much as people anywhere else in the country.
Yeah. Ken Cuccinelli, thank you so much, former Virginia Attorney General and, of course, the Acting Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security. It's been a great conversation, and we will get through this. All right, we'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. And let's go ahead and do this. How about this? Knowing your 99.1 and 92.3 FM news, Talk can put cash in your pocket every Thursday. Today, you'll get a great Mexican lunch or dinner at El Adobe in Reno if you know your FM news talk. If the market is down, what is the name of the band that plays at the end of the Tom Sullivan Show? Text your answer right now to 884-9910. You've got 90 seconds to answer, and don't text and drive. 884-9910. What is the name of the band that plays on the Tom Sullivan Show when the market is down? Good luck to you. Speaking of markets, let's take a look at the market with Fox Business News on 92.3 and 99.1.